So this is our Connect service. It's more interactive than our normal services would be. So I will trust that you would respond when I'm trying to engage. Is that a deal? I can hear from just this corner. Is that a deal, everybody? Yes, it's a deal. It's a deal. So let's put the slides on, please. The next slide. So this morning we are taking our reading from Luke chapter 19. The first 10 verses of Luke chapter 19. And if you know, we've been looking at our Catalyst series from the beginning of the year. We're looking at the core values we share as a church. And this is the seventh one. It's empowered to serve. So at the beginning of the month, we looked at serving the Lord. Remember, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Remember that one? Last one, we had my wife Amy talking about being anointed to serve. God giving us the power to serve. But today, we're going to be talking about finding your place to serve. Because if God has given you the power, and we know where to serve the Lord, where do I serve? How do I know what to serve with? Hopefully those questions will be answered this morning. So let's read from Luke chapter 19. In the city of Jericho, there lived a wealthy man named Zacchaeus, who was the supervisor over all the tax collectors. As Jesus made his way through the city, Zacchaeus was eager to see Jesus. He kept trying to get a look at him, but the crowd around Jesus was massive. Zacchaeus was a very short man and couldn't see over the heads of the people. So he ran on ahead of everyone and climbed up a blossoming fig tree so that he could get a glimpse of Jesus as he passed by. So Jesus is going through a city called Jericho. Anybody ever heard that name of that city name before? Jericho? We're familiar with Jericho. Jericho has two interesting meanings, if you look at the meaning of the word Jericho. On the one hand, it means a place of fragrance, because there are lots of trees that are fragrant in Jericho. So it means a place of fragrance. On another hand, it means the city of the moon. The city of the moon. But if you really look at the etymology, as the breakdown of the words, city of the moon means a city of travel or wandering. Because they believe that the moon, and I think it's scientifically true, the moon goes around the earth, isn't it? So it's always traveling. It's always going, wandering. So it's a city of wandering. So on the one hand, you come into Jericho and you feel it's fragrant around here, it's pleasant. But beneath that superficiality is a deep-seated desire to find their place. Because it's a city for wandering. That means people never get to settle. They're always wandering. So bear that in mind as we dig deeper into this morning. So for us to be able to understand who this personality called Zacchaeus is, we'll ask for the next slide. Do we know Peter Dinklage? Does everybody know Peter Dinklage? He's done movies like Elf, and I think he was in Game of Thrones as well. And he's a very, very short man, vertically challenged. So let's learn a few things about Zacchaeus. One, he was the chief tax officer. He supervised every other tax officer around the area. And you know, Matthew was equally a tax collector that followed Jesus. So possibly Matthew might have worked for Zacchaeus. We never know. So he worked for the Roman Inland Revenue Service, similar to our HMRC. He was very loaded, very, very wealthy. He was pro-establishment and very corrupt. Now, his wealth came because he was extortionist. He collected more than necessary. You see, the way the Roman Empire worked in those days was that they would appoint local people to tax local people. It was an indirect way of governing. So they never came themselves to collect the tax. They will appoint local people to tax local people. And obviously, you know what that would lead to? Resentment, hatred. So Zacchaeus was not loved at all. Sorry? Yeah. She said the Romans weren't daft, were they? Yeah, of course. They didn't want to appear like the baddies. So they will appoint local people to tax local people. So he was hated by his own people. And obviously, he was a very, very short man. So that's Zacchaeus in a nutshell. Next slide, please. A very quick tweet. We've just received a tweet. And Zacchaeus' name means pure of the Lord. Or remembering God. You see, names in the Bible usually reflected your character. Or should reflect your character. So what does this say about Zacchaeus? If his name means pure, and it means one who remembers God, what does it say of his character? Sorry? He was acting contrary to his character, to his identity, isn't it? Even though he was meant to be a pure person, his actions were not pure. We'll dig deeper. Next slide, please. So the question is, what is Zacchaeus looking for? He heard about Jesus. He tried to see who Jesus was, couldn't see, and he ran ahead of the crowd, climbed up a tree so that he could see Jesus. What is Zacchaeus looking for? Sorry, a place to belong, like Christ Church? Anybody else? What is Zacchaeus looking for? Sorry? Identity with Jesus. Deep, Charles. Deep. Anybody else? Salvation? Yeah. Hospitality? There's a connection somewhere there, yes. More money? Maybe Jesus has got some more money to tax him, you know, collect from Jesus. Yeah. More money? You never know. Okay. Sorry? He might even not know why he's after Jesus. He might not even know. Okay. So we're going to listen to a song which kind of captures Zacchaeus' thoughts. I Okay. So, listening to that song, what leapt out to you? What resonated with you straight away? Sorry? I didn't hear that. What? But from the words, from the lyrics. It's true for most people. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. He said, I have spoken with the tongues of angels. I've heard the hand of the devil. I've tried everything. Yet, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Nigel said, that's true of most people. We end up like the moon, doing different things, wandering about from place to place, but yet still haven't found what we're looking for. Solomon reminds me in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, I have tried everything and everything is meaningless. In some older translations, it says vanity. It's vain. Vain pursuits. Zacchaeus pursued wealth, even at the detriment of his status. But what was he really, really looking for? Can we have the next set of slides, please? I think we have another tweet. Remember, he ran up a tree. Do you remember that? Now, that tree is a sycamore tree. It's from the family of fig trees. And it's symbolically referred to as the tree of life. Isn't that ironical? He runs up a tree that is known as the tree of life. It was a tree that symbolized strength. It was a tree that symbolized protection. It was a tree that symbolized eternity. It was a tree that symbolized divinity. A tree that grows from anything from 98 feet to 130 feet. That guy must have been fast climbing that tree. So it's a tall tree. But the reason why they called it a tree of life was because of the fruit from the tree and the wood from the tree. It's a tree that is useful for so many things. And it supported the livelihood of people who lived in that city and in that region. So Zacchaeus climbs up the tree of life. Where else have we heard that phrase, tree of life? Where else? In the Bible, Genesis, in the Garden of Eden. Remember, there were two trees in the center. One was the tree of life, and the other was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God did not place any restrictions on the tree of life. They were allowed to eat freely from it, but they did not. They ate from the other tree. So somebody said salvation earlier on. Zacchaeus ran up this tree of life. But one thing about the tree as well was it had lots of leaves. It was a shady tree. Play on words. It was a shady tree. And the bark of the tree was like camouflage. So it was a perfect tree for Zacchaeus to hide. You know those cars that have tinted screens? You can see outside, but they can't see inside. That's that kind of tree. So he could see everything going on, but nobody could really see who was up the tree. What does that say of Zacchaeus again? So because of his reputation, he was hiding. So he's up the tree where he could be visible to everybody, but he's up a tree where he can hide himself and still get to see Jesus. And we do have people like that who, they don't want their mates to know that they're already thinking about life. They are thinking about existence beyond the normal grind, everyday grind. They don't want family to know that they've been going for an alpha course. Or they've been speaking to a mate who is a Christian. So they hide. And in some places, you do have to hide. In some countries where Christianity has been persecuted, like in China, like in the Middle Eastern countries, you do have to hide. You're a secret believer. You need like a sycamore identity. So in some places, it's okay. It's okay to be a secret underground believer. So question again, what is Zacchaeus really, really looking for? I think it's looking for purpose. It's looking for meaning. It's trying to find his place in the world. A place that wealth could not give him. A place that favor with the Roman Empire could not give him. There's something deep inside us yearning for fulfillment that material things cannot give us. That we are trying to find. Because once you find it, there's fulfillment. There's joy. Okay, let's look at the next slide. Let's see what happens to Zacchaeus. So when Jesus got to that place, so Jesus is walking. There's a massive crowd around Jesus. And Jesus gets to that exact spot and looks up. He looked up into the tree and says, Zacchaeus, hurry on down, for I'm appointed to stay at your house today. In another translation, it says, salvation has come to your house today. So he scurried down the tree and came face to face with Jesus. As Jesus left to go with Zacchaeus, many in the crowd complained, look at this, of all the people to have dinner with, he's going to eat in the house of a crook. So some people will not like it when you go with Jesus. Some people will not like it. They will say, look at him, look at her. Zacchaeus joyously welcomed Jesus and was amazed over his generous, gracious visit to his home. Zacchaeus stood in front of the Lord and said, half of all that I own I will give to the poor. And Lord, he calls Jesus Lord. Something has changed in Zacchaeus. It says, and Lord. Because Lord means owner. Kurios, my owner. So something has shifted in Zacchaeus. If I have cheated anyone, I promise to pay back four times as much as I stole. Jesus said to him, this shows that today life, remember he went up the tree of life? Jesus said, now what you're actually looking for has come to you. Life. Purpose has come to you and your household, for you are a true son of Abraham. People still saw him as the bad guy. They still saw him as the crook. But Jesus said, no, you're a true son. You're a true son. The Son of Man has come to seek out and to give life to those who are lost. When you find Jesus, or when you're found by Jesus, because Zacchaeus was found by Jesus, When you're found by Jesus, you're found by purpose. Because purpose answers the question, why am I here? Why am I here? Why am I alive at this time? Why am I here in Stamford? Why? Why? The question why is answered by finding purpose. You find your reason for existence. You see, because everything created has a purpose. So Zacchaeus was acting contrary to his purpose. He was taking where God made him a giver. He was meant to serve with his giving, but he was serving by taking. So when he found Jesus, he found purpose. Next slide, please. Don't you love that picture? I just love the smile and the grin on that guy's face. He's like, yeah, come on. So finding your place to serve. You see, because when you find Jesus, like I said, you find purpose. And we are called the body of Christ. So some of us are hands. Some of us are mouth. Some of us are eyes. Some of us are arms. We all have different functions in his body because we have found purpose in his body. So I'm going to pass something around. Just one per table. Which speaks about various ways in which we can understand our purpose. It might require some people to join with somebody else and that's just one, yeah. Oh, is it two there, yeah? Yes, two pages, yeah. So if you want to discuss with Lisa. So I just want us to look at, there are seven gifts there, which in our one of the Bible verses for today, Romans 12, talks about these gifts. And these gifts are commonplace in the body of Christ. So I want you to look at it, see which gift. Oh, sorry, Maria, would you want to join them as well? Sorry, I ran out of sheets. So, I want you to look at the gifts. See where you fall. Are you the eyes? Some of us may have more than one gift. But see the most dominant one, the one you express the most. And I'll come back to you in a couple of minutes. So just have a quick look. See your gifts. See where you fall into the body of Christ and how that gift can be used here in Christ Church. We've got a few minutes. Feel free to take the sheet with you if you want more time to look at it. But this table. Were you able to find what part of the body you are? Or where you feel you'd in yeah, terms of
helping, you know.
So you feel you're more arms?
Yeah.
Yes. Is that the same for you?
I don't know, I didn't get that far. In mum and Tina, mum, hands.
Hands, arms. I think you probably are hands as well.
Yeah.
So on this table we have hands and arms. This table?
I think I'm arms.
Sorry?
Arms.
Arms as well. Kathy? I think Kathy will feel it.
You'll be.
I didn't realize there was more than one.
Oh, okay. I'll come back to you, Kathy. I'll come. So, arms as well. So, hands and arms so far. Hands and arms as well.
Same,
hands and arms. Bob?
Tati is the eyes, mind, discernment of spirit.
So eyes and mind. And I think you have arms as well for the drumming. Charles?
I'll go for heart, because I tell people I have a heart condition as a Christian.
heart. Thank you. Yes, Brenda?
I'll probably go for hands and arms.
Hands and arms as well. Did you manage to find out where you fall?
Eyes.
Eyes. That's good. Eyes, yeah.
I'm not quite sure where I fall.
A bit of everything.
Yeah. I could only do all of it now.
Should we say hands? I think you've done...
Hands.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, hands. Margaret?
No, I think they're my needs, actually.
You need those parts. I like that. So, Margaret needs the parts. What did you think here?
Well, I mean, there's a theme going on here. Hands and arms, definitely.
Hands and arms. And a heart.
Yeah.
Kathy? Which one do you feel you do the most?
Involved in prayer. Pray for the sick.
So if you're in prayers, you probably are eyes. I think your eyes actually. Yeah. Yeah.
Prayers home.
Yes.
I can pray here.
Good. Good. So you're definitely eyes. Thank you. Interesting, isn't it? Any thoughts, Jackie?
I need more time.
Okay. Well, thank you everyone for doing that. But it's just easier to see where you naturally fall. Those things that give you joy. When you serve, you feel fulfilled doing those things. You know, you don't even think about it. You just say, yes. So like Zacchaeus, you find your place to serve. And you find fulfillment in those things. We're going to pray, and then we'll call the kids to come up after we pray. But this morning, I want us to really think about three things as we pray. One is I want you to find where you are on the Zacchaeus journey. Are you around trying to see Jesus? But there's a crowd preventing you from seeing that. Is there peer pressure preventing you from seeing Jesus? Or do you have crowd thinking? Is there crowd mindset preventing you from seeing Jesus? Or have you already climbed up a tree? Have you climbed up a sycamore tree? Somebody said, not recently. I like that. Was that Ruthie? That's a good one. I like that. Have you climbed up a tree? Are you beginning to have clarity about your place? Are you beginning to see Jesus clearer than you've ever seen him? But you still feel like you're hiding. It still feels like you're not confident enough to step out and really come across and meet with Jesus. Or are you still stuck up a tree? You've spent too long on that tree. So the first one is the crowd. Are you trying to see Jesus, but you're being prevented because of pressure, daily pressure, work pressure, friends? Or have you climbed up and you've spent too much time up the tree? Or have you come down the tree and you're now standing face to face with, or is Jesus in your house? Is he having supper with you? Jesus said, if anyone loves me, I and my Father will come in and have supper with you. So where are you? Because when you find Jesus, you've found purpose.